The following radio play has been adapted from Ramasur, a novel by Rick DeMille. Welcome to the fourth episode, The Swimmer.
The boy sits at the kitchen table while Monica hurries to finish the breakfast dishes. Then she runs upstairs, comes down wearing a fresh blouse, and makes a new pot of tea for Florian Martin. Every Saturday morning, he comes to collect Francis. Although Florian is still in high school, everyone in town knows he's going to be a priest. Everyone, that is, but the boy. He's got other plans for him. At night, he asks Jesus to help him make sure Florian marries Monica. That's part one of the plan. Part two is for Jesus to arrange that the newlyweds move in next door. That way they can all see each other every day. Except, of course, when Florian and Monica are making babies. The boy isn't clear how that happens, but is pretty sure he doesn't even want to know. Now Florian Martin's arrival is announced, as it always is, by a polite knock at the door. Monica rushes to open it and greets him with apparent surprise.
Oh, it's you.
Then tells him he may as well sit and have something to eat while he's waiting for Francis. She serves him homemade bread and jam with a cup of fresh tea, and blushes when he smiles at her. As she does every week, she asks where he and Francis are going. Florian tells her they're heading out to Carmel Creek. Everyone in town knows that's where the witch's eldest daughter went to drown herself, waded in with rocks in her pocket, and allowed the current to pull her under.
You better be careful. There's a current.
But Florian Martin assures Monica that nothing bad will happen, and reminds her that Jesus will look after him. The boy asks,
can Jesus swim?
Florian Martin turns from Monica and tells the boy he's sure Jesus can. He stilled the water, didn't he? And even walked on it. Surely he can swim in it. The boy can imagine Jesus doing the front crawl, robes and all, from Dead Woman's Point on Carmel Creek all the way to the Black River. And when he's just a speck in the distance, he stops and gives a friendly wave, the way Florian Martin might.
They say nobody can escape the current,
says Monica, thinking about how the witch's daughter was said to have been found 2 days later, caught in the long fingers of a submerged poplar. The boy tells her,
don't worry, Jesus can swim like a fucking fish.
Watch what you say.
Now Francis enters the room and tells Florian Martin that they better head out if they want to be back by early afternoon.
Let Florian finish his breakfast.
But Francis is keen to leave and says Florian can take the bread with him. Monica and the boy walk them as far as the back porch.
You better be careful.
Florian Martin assures her that they'll be careful. He'll be back in a few hours, in plenty of time to serve 5 o'clock mass. At 3:30, Monica starts getting the boy ready for church.
How come we got to go to church?
I told you to see Jesus.
I never seen him there.
Oh, he's there all right.
Now the boy is determined that he's going to see Jesus. The two of them enter through the tall doors, and the boy insists that they walk to one of the front pews. Monica agrees, knowing that from there she'll be able to get a good view of Florian Martin assisting Father Montpetit. While they wait for Mass to begin, the boy looks behind him. To the left. To the right. But no Jesus. When the Mass starts, the priest begins his procession from the back. Monica and the boy turn their heads to watch him, but see another altar boy trailing Father Montpetit up the center aisle. The boy's eyes widen and he pokes Monica in the ribs, as if to say,
do you see that?
But she pretends not to notice, neither the elbow nor the absence of Florian Martin. Not long after the start of the Mass, Father Montpetit proclaims something and everyone in the congregation strikes their breasts 3 times.
Why we got to do that?
For our sins.
The boy wonders if he has sinned, but can think of nothing, so he doesn't bother striking his breast. Next come the readings, but the boy ignores these and looks around for the missing twosome, Florian and Jesus, but both of them are conspicuously absent. Now the readings are over and the priest takes the pulpit and starts talking. He says everyone is a sinner. The boy wonders what he could have done. Could he have sinned and not even known it? But now his thoughts are derailed by something Father Montpetit says. The priest tells the congregation that Jesus came into the world to redeem everyone's sins, and proclaims that Jesus is the bridegroom of the world. When the boy hears this, he forgets about sin and sees a jewel of hope. If Jesus is married to Monica, and married to Florian, then doesn't that mean that Florian and Monica are pretty well married to each other? The boy stands up now. If Jesus is going to marry Monica and Florian, then he better show up soon. And he better have Florian with him. Monica tugs him down.
Sit down and be good.
Up on the altar, Father Montpetit elevates the unleavened bread.
Accept, O Father Almighty, eternal God, this spotless host.
The boy sits down, but wonders if Jesus is hiding someplace. So he slips to the kneeler and then slumps to the floor and looks the length of the church, but sees only feet. Monica catches him by his shirt collar and tugs him back.
Stop fidgeting.
Where is Jesus?
Up there.
Where?
In the bread.
How did that happen?
Shh.
I didn't see anything.
The boy realizes Jesus must have jumped into the bread while he was under the pew, looking at feet. Now the priest bends and eats the broken body of the Lord.
He just ate Jesus!
Hush!
The priest administers the sacrament to the altar server and then proceeds to the altar rail to give communion to the congregation. Everyone in the pew stands and begins to shuffle out. The boy gets up too.
Sit down.
I want Jesus too.
You're not ready.
Yes, I am.
Not today. You will be when you're older.
I'm ready now.
Monica puts a finger to her lips, eases the boy to his seat, and then moves down the pew. After she's gone, he leaves the pew and joins the line moving towards the altar rail. He watches as the altar boy holds a gold platen beneath Monica's chin. Then Father Montpetit places a wafer on her tongue. The boy runs up beside her, kneels and sticks out his tongue. But the priest just passes him by.
You forgot me.
But Father Montpetit acts deaf. Monica pretends as if nothing is wrong and leads the boy away from the rail and back to his seat. He sits and watches everyone receive the body of Jesus. Then sees the priest put the chalice into the tabernacle. When he closes the door and locks it, the boy knows all hope is lost and feels the mercilessness of the world.
Everyone got Jesus but me.
Suddenly, as Jesus is said to have leapt into the bread, the boy realizes that the reason he missed seeing Jesus jump into the bread is because Jesus didn't show up this time. And he didn't show up because he saw that one small boy didn't strike his chest in contrition. Now the boy feels that he's caught in the strong current of sin and knows that nothing in the world can save him from drowning. When he and Monica return from Mass, they're greeted at the door by Grandmother. She tells them something bad happened today up at Carmel Creek, and then puts an arm around Monica and leads her to the table, so she can tell her the bad news.
The Swimmer was written by Rick DeMel, read by Rick DeMel, Bonnie DeMel, and Gordy Ducion, with music by Duncan Cameron, Walter Keeley, and the Wild Geese. This episode is dedicated to the memory of Tom Ryan. This has been a Charlie Cormorant production. Stay tuned for episode 5.